This meeting is now being recorded.
We're all set when you are.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us this morning for the fourth in our series of Member Outreach Spiritual Messages. This was inspired by Monsignor William Fedrowski and Ray LaRose. We are fortunate to have with us this morning Father Sal DiStefano. Father is a priest in the Archdiocese of Newark, New Jersey. He is the chaplain at Oratory Catholic Preparatory School in Summit, New Jersey. Father Sal has extensive training in spiritual direction and has provided spiritual formation for over 10 years. He is a deputy chaplain for the American Association. His topic today is Year of Mercy. Welcome, Father.
Good morning. Let us begin our time together with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy his consolations through Christ our Lord. Amen. I am glad to be here with you this morning to share some thoughts about the Year of Mercy and what it means to be merciful. Our Holy Father, Pope Francis, tells us that he is convinced that the whole Church will be able to find in this year the joy of rediscovering and making fruitful the mercy of God. It is my hope that the time we spend together this morning will help you in this rediscovery and make you all vessels and recipients of God's mercy. Throughout the Gospels, we see God's mercy in action. We see God's mercy in the various miracles performed by Jesus. We see God's mercy in Matthew's Gospel and the Beatitudes when we are told, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." One gospel in particular has traditionally merited the title of the Gospel of Mercy and Forgiveness, and that gospel is the Gospel of Luke. I encourage you to pray with Luke's gospel as we journey through this year of mercy. Today, let us consider one verse from Luke's gospel, verse 36 of the sixth chapter. "Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." This instruction sounds straightforward, but what must we do to follow it? What must we do to obtain the Father's mercy and forgiveness? I believe it is simply this: we must be ready and willing to forgive. Forgive those who have offended and hurt us. Many people would agree that the most important element of mercy is forgiveness. Now, knowing the importance of forgiveness in obtaining mercy, I would like to share with you a little something from a brother priest, Father Brian Joyce. Father Brian is a retired priest from the Diocese of Oakland, California, and he has created what he calls the Ten Commandments of Forgiveness. I recently spoke with Father Brian, and he has given me permission to share them with you and for me to expound upon them today. I believe these 10 important points will be helpful to all of us in practicing forgiveness. They are like a manual, a sort of roadmap to instruct us on how to forgive and how to be forgiven. These 10 points can redirect our anger, frustration, resentment, and disappointment toward anyone who has hurt us. When one lives in a state of emotional turmoil, fueled by anger and resentment, it can become debilitating on several levels. It can especially disrupt and even destroy a person's spiritual well-being. St. Augustine reminds us that resentment is like taking poison and hoping the other person dies. So again, hopefully these commandments of forgiveness will assist you on your journey of reconciliation and mercy. the first commandment of forgiveness. Forgiveness is not easy. Forgiveness takes time and effort. There is no quick fix for it, especially when we feel betrayed or violated in some way. When we are deeply hurt by another person, sometimes over and over again, forgiving them will not be easy. So we must ask Almighty God for the grace to forgive that person. And we must be ready and willing to forgive them over and over again. We know that this is what we must do because in the 18th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, when Peter asked Jesus, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother who sins against me? 7 times? Jesus answers Peter, "Not 7, but 70 times 7. In this instruction from Jesus, we are told that forgiveness must have no limits. Forgiveness holds no bounds. Even though forgiving the person who has hurt us is not an easy thing to do, it is what our Lord expects from us. The second commandment. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness does not mean a change of memory. It means to have a change of heart. A change of heart. Most dictionaries describe a change of heart as a move to a different position or attitude. And this change is what allows us to forgive. We must never forget that God constantly forgives our sins. So why shouldn't we do the same? In the same way that God treats us, we should not keep track of how many times we are wronged or how many times we may have forgiven someone who has offended us. Forgiveness is to be godlike, and the forgiving heart is the result of a change of heart. To forgive and forget, it sounds nice, it sounds easy. But when we have been hurt so deeply by someone's words or actions, we cannot easily forget. But with God's grace, we can forgive and make an effort to move on. The third commandment, forgiveness does not overlook evil. In other words, forgiveness is not avoidance. It's not denial. No decent person would accept injustice or pretend that everything is well when the circumstance or situation in which they find themselves is not. However, some people are of the opinion that if you ignore something, it will go away. This point of view is unacceptable because we cannot and must not turn a blind eye to wrongdoing. To ignore evil can have very serious spiritual implications in which a person may find themselves because they can easily commit a sin of omission by not taking appropriate action. Again, Jesus teaches us that we must not ignore what is happening. Rather, we must confront it. We see this in the 8th chapter of Luke's Gospel, when Jesus meets the man who is possessed. In this Gospel passage, Jesus shows us that evil must be confronted. Therefore, we must do the same. The fourth commandment. Forgiveness does not mean that we let hurt and damage continue and go on. So for us, forgiveness is not indifference. If things are harmful or wrong, we don't just go back to business as usual, as though nothing happened, and let the hurt and damage continue, and perhaps affect others in a negative way, as well as ourselves. Therefore, we have a responsibility to ensure that the evil stops and cannot continue to cause harm. This fourth commandment is related to the third, in that once we acknowledge the wrong, as the third commandment tells us, we must do something to stop it. The fifth commandment of forgiveness. Forgiveness is not the same as approval. In fact, the reason that we need to forgive is that we don't approve of what happened. We can forgive and at the same time express our disapproval of harmful behavior. This is an example of where the old saying comes from, love the sinner and hate the sin. God never approves of sin. He disapproves of every wrong we have committed, and in spite of his disapproval of our transgressions, God forgives us. So we can forgive what we don't approve of, because that is the way God deals with us. Now, these first five commandments seem to be easy, but the next five may be more difficult to accept. Listen to them carefully, ponder them intently, and discern which of these last five points you not only have trouble living with, but you, at this point in time on your spiritual journey, are not even sure you can accept. The sixth commandment of forgiveness. Forgiveness is based on recognizing and admitting that people are always bigger than their faults. In other words, we should not define people by the way they have treated us. There is more to their lives than the wrong they have done. People are always more than their mistakes or wrongdoings. So we must not define someone by what they said or did to hurt us. This point is directly related to human dignity. The basis for the theme of human dignity, the bedrock of Catholic social teaching, is that all human beings are created in the image and likeness of God. Therefore, we must never forget that our brothers and sisters must be treated with dignity and respect, even when they don't deserve it. Number seven, forgiveness is allowing a person to start over again. Do we give people a second chance, or do we say, no way, no second chances? Most people have a tendency to say to themselves, I will never, ever get close enough again to allow that person to hurt me. By now you can see that these commandments are related, and in many ways their teachings can be interchangeable. However, each of them does have a specific lesson for us, and the lesson of the seventh point, the giving of another chance, is given to us in the gift of the sacrament of reconciliation. Fully aware of our human condition, fully aware of our human weakness, our Lord gave us the means to a second chance in the sacrament. Think for a moment how you felt the last time you went to confession. Usually it brings a feeling of relief and comfort. In the sacrament, every one of us can start over again. So today, let us all make the resolution to receive the sacrament of reconciliation often. The eighth commandment. Forgiveness recognizes the humanity of the person who has wronged us, and also recognizes our own humanity and our own shortcomings, and our own contribution to what went wrong. We all make mistakes. How would you feel if every little mistake you made was treated like a fatal error? When something goes wrong, people tend to blame the other person. It may be true that others initiated the problem, but we should always be mindful of our personal responsibility. What is personal responsibility? Simply put, personal responsibility is taking control of your responses to the events and circumstances in your life. Many psychologists agree that one of the benefits of accepting personal responsibility is the diminishment of negative emotions. And with the reduction of negative feelings comes feelings of wellness. Number nine, forgiveness surrenders the right to get even. In living the good Christian life, there is no room for the attitude of, I don't get mad, I get even. Revenge may sound good, but in the end, it just makes bad feelings worse. Forgiveness, on the other hand, means letting go of the desire to get even. this ninth commandment can be a lesson on the difference between revenge and justice. The motive of revenge has mostly to do with expressing rage, hatred, or spite. It's a payback, and its foremost intent is to inflict harm. Justice, on the other hand, in a situation where harm was done, can provide closure, and with closure, a person can find peace of mind. The basic difference between revenge and justice is that revenge is about retaliation. Justice is about restoring balance, and in the end, it's about peace, tranquility, and hopefully, reconciliation. And finally, the 10th commandment of forgiveness. We wish the person or persons that have hurt us well. In fact, we wish them the best. When dealing with someone who hurt us, no matter what they did to us, we should always take the high road and wish them well and commend them to God's mercy. This is what it means to turn the other cheek. This is what it means to be a good Christian. Always remember the instruction of our Lord to every one of us from Matthew's Gospel. Love your enemy. So now that we have heard all 10, I believe we can say that these 10 commandments of forgiveness are pretty tough stuff. They are pretty hard to live up to. But in spite of ourselves and our attitudes, as we keep these 10 important rules for life in mind, let us never forget that ultimately it is Jesus who teaches us how to forgive. He provides the motivation, the energy that allows it to happen. He teaches us to forgive others as God forgives every one of us. We know this to be true because the very nature of God is to forgive. God, who is at the heart of the universe, lets go and forgives. God, who is the foundation of our lives, lets go and forgives. God, who is the very reason for us to forgive, lets go and forgives. We should and must forgive, just as God forgives. We are given the way to do this by the instruction Jesus gave to his disciples, and he gives to us today. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he gave them the prayer we know today as the Our Father. In this prayer, Jesus gave us the privilege to call God, his Father, our Father. Because of this, we are able to ask God as a loving Father to provide us with everything we need in order to live as his sons and daughters, including the grace and ability to forgive just as he forgives. One might say, how is this possible? St. Paul teaches us that it is through the power of the Holy Spirit that we come to personally know God and can call him Father. With this realization, we can approach our Father in heaven, but God wants something from us in return. And what does he want from us? It is this: that we must forgive those who have done us wrong, even if they don't deserve our forgiveness. One of Father Brian's 10 commandments, as you may recall. As the prayer the Our Father teaches us, when we forgive those who do us harm, who trespass against us, then God will forgive us from the wrong we have committed against him and each other. This is the key to living a good Christian life. Do unto others as you want to be treated by others. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Always remember and practice this way of living, and you will surely find peace and happiness. Live in this way, and you will most certainly experience the Father's mercy and forgiveness. Our Lady of Palermo, pray for us. Our Lady of Lourdes, pray for us. Mary, Mother of Mercy, pray for us. St. John the Baptist, pray for us. Blessed Gerard, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Goodbye, and good day to you all.
Thank you very much, Father.
You're welcome.